In Jesus' name. Let us thank God for today's meeting. No one comes to me, the Father remains the same. Say, Lord, I've come. I've come. Anoint Pastor Bank here fresh with a fresh word from your throne of grace. As he opens his mouth, take over. Lord, take over. Take over and deliver your mind to your people today. Say, I've come to receive my portion, Lord. I will not be distracted. I'm totally yielded to your spirit. I hear every word that you say today. Say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to Pastor Banky and speak through him to us tonight. Let everything work together that your glory will land and it will be felt and received by all of us. The instruments, the lighting, social media, the displays, whatever, the microphone, everything is working together. And the set man too is very connected to the grace of God that is available here. Say, Lord, I've come. I can't live here the same. Say, we dethrone self. We dethrone self today and we exalt Jesus. We dethrone self today and we exalt Jesus alone. Jesus alone be exalted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we are grateful for your presence with us. We don't take it for granted. We bless your name, for you have come to feast with us today. We say thank you, Lord. Have your way in our midst. In Jesus' precious name.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, can you say an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we are going to sit down. Then I'm going to do some exhortation today. Then we'll pray. Continue the prayer we've been praying. Before we do that, as usual, let's take our declaration of understanding. All right? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's take it together. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. So let's take our seats. All right. You know, there's something I talk about once in a while. It's been inside everything that I've been saying for some time. And a part of it I want to bring out today. That is, I want to bring it to the fore. There's something I've been saying here and there as we go on. And I have a small caption. What I want to talk about is what it takes really to be fully used by God. Is that okay? You know, we talk about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. We talk about those things. So along the line, I've been talking about here and there what it takes to move from 30 to 60 and to 100. And one critical part of it I want to highlight today. And it's very important. Please, I need to follow me. Then we'll pray about them at the end, yes. For different things we're going to pray about at the end of it. Let's take a short while to teach. First of all, let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark. Yeah, and then we'll read from Mark. Mark chapter 10. I'll read from verse 17. The story of that rich young ruler, as we often describe him. From verse 17, the Bible says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is no one good except God alone." Then he answered him from verse 19. "You know the commandments? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud," that these people. "Remember to honor your father and mother." I just added the word "remember" to make his statement out of that. And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all." Now notice that I've kept all these things from my youth up. That is including the law. Yeah, the rest of the law. It's not as if they are the only things he kept. We can assume He was diligent in keeping the law. So the law brought out these things to the fore. Don't murder, adultery, don't do that, don't steal, don't be a false witness, don't defraud, and do remember to honor your father and your mother. And he said, these things I have kept all of them. Then looking to him, if I read another book, he said, what else do I lack? What do I still lack? He asked that question. And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Now, I believe that "and you have treasure in heaven" is kind of in parenthesis. And then come and follow me. In verse 22, we read that, but at these words, he was saddened. He became very gloomy and he went away grieving. He was saddened and he went away grieving. Why? He was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples, the Bible says in verse 24, were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said, children, how hard it is to enter. It is hard, he said. Now, he didn't say the wealthy now. Everybody, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Back to the wealthy matter, verse 25. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were even more astonished, and they said to him, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people, this it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Please, where do I start this from? I'm going to get to my message in a moment, but let me explain some things that we are reading here. I think that what he was saying here is to have somebody who will be willing to follow the things that the Lord was saying. With man, it is impossible. He wasn't saying that God can save. Now, listen, God can save a rich man. Amen? Say amen to that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. But the emphasis was more on how do you get somebody to obey? Because Jesus gave a condition. How do you get somebody to obey that? Essentially, left to man, it's impossible. But with God, it's very possible. God will put a spirit in that man. He's the one that will walk away. Now, please, let me quickly say this. Christianity is radical. What did I say?
Christianity is radical.
If you claim you gave your life to Christ, your goal is still the same. Oh, but you're never born again. No? Seriously. One of the things that, you know, let me tell you what it means to be born. You're fresh, no ideas, no visions, nothing. So to be born again is called a factory reset. All the apps that you added to that phone, they've been removed. The information you put inside, gone. You now start rebuilding it again. These days we use devices that all seem to need to be registered. I use an Android device. You have to have a Google account to be able to get the fullness out of it. So you put a new one inside that phone. And then you start building things up bit by bit. That's what it means to be born again. Your aspiration changes. Please, you know, my wife said something now when she was leading prayer. But I said to her this morning that I hate false prophets more than I hate bandits. And that's not a joke. A lot of people don't realize that that is only small. I think I hate them twice as much. Now, if God gave me the opportunity to exterminate somebody, I will go after the false prophet first, long before I remember the bandit. Because the bandit doesn't do much damage. If anything, he binds families together. If he shoots somebody in the family, the rest will come together to do what? To mourn. They will comfort one another. But just like she said, a false prophet comes in, my father in heaven, he will scatter everybody. If you see a bandit, a kidnapper, you know instantly this is my enemy. He knows you are his prey, if the Lord allows him. There's no confusion. But a false prophet is instantly, you think he's a friend. You think it's on the side of Jesus Christ. So your guards are down. Now, because you love the Lord and you fear the Lord, you don't know where to draw the line between what he's saying and what God is saying. Are you getting my point? In case you want to know, that is why I think God should do worse to false prophets than he's doing to bandits. If you ask my opinion. And I'm saying it publicly. If he wants to use these words, let him use them. They are terrible. They destroy homes. They mislead people who are trying to serve God. All of it for their pockets. If you're a false prophet, just know that my prayers and my prophesying are against you every day. I never ask God to show you mercy. I don't have the capacity. There are those who can, who have been out here, probably praying for you, that God will have mercy on you. I think the longer you stay there, the more damage you do. Bandits are better for the nation than you. Yes. If God tells the bank, you choose one. You want terrorists or you want false prophets? Yeah, God, please give us terrorists. Let these false prophets carry their trouble and go. So we can pray effectively. Do you get my point? You know why I'm saying all of these things? Why I just went into that? Just because my wife mentioned it when she was praying. I just wanted to tell us, she didn't tell you half of my attitude towards false prophets. She didn't tell you half. You know, someone like Kenneth Hagin in his days, he almost died because of false prophets. He said, how? I'll tell you. He said, God was angry because he was a prophet. All right? The Lord used to visit him. He used to give him messages. And when he's ministering, he used to have visions, revelations, and stuff like that. He said he stopped prophesying along those lines. Stopped giving words of knowledge and stuff. You know why? He said he didn't want to be classified amongst false prophets. So the Lord watched him for a long time. And one day he warned him, it's a long story, that if you don't stop this nonsense you are doing, if you don't resume your prophetic office and let the teaching one follow behind, then you will die before latest the age of 55. I think then he was in his 30s. His own issue was, I don't want to be classified. He had two problems. This was one of the problems. I don't want to be classified amongst all these false people. Now, the name people call me, all right? I teach the word of God. That's my primary function, all right? People call me Pastor Banky. It was an appellation my friends gave me when we were in university. All right? There was a time we were just playing about things like that. So, Pastor Banky, so it stuck. So, I won't think of myself as Pastor Banky now when I should have another name. Is that okay? But if I have to go back, I will have insisted on being called Brother Banky. What's my reason? There are too many false people who bear that title. They are false brothers, but nobody looks up to false brothers, to brothers. Bro, nah, bro. Why am I spending time on this? That is so sad that many of these will come into the body of Christ. And then, because you have to understand the primary job, even of prophets, is to teach. It's not every time they prophesy. If anybody just prophesy anyhow, all right? He's not a prophet. It's a clown. How do I know? The Lord said it. In fact, Kenneth used to teach us that if you're a prophet, you either what you call a preacher, which I'll use the word evangelist, or a teacher first. That is, on a daily basis. Doesn't mean that's the most important part of your ministry. But each time they listen to you, if you say something like, okay, many of us know this man, Sadhu, you know, Sadhu. Most times he's teaching. Is that okay? Most times it's teaching. So you find out that the Lord said, you see that woman, Jezebel, that calls herself a prophet, a prophetess. And what does she do? She's teaching my servants to do what is wrong. Let's summarize it like that. So these false people come to the church and they teach Christians to do what is wrong. That's where I'm going. One of the things they do is to make Christians money-minded. It's a false gospel that makes you more focused on earthly success than heavenly success. It crept bit by bit into our midst. We started by saying some Christians are so heavenly minded, they are earthly useless. You want to know the truth? They are not heavenly minded. Anybody who's truly minded of things of heaven, they become very useful in the assignment of God for their lives on the earth. Because they know one day they will face the judgment seat of Christ. If they are not like that, they are not properly heavenly minded. We said it like that. No, those people were not truly heavenly minded. But little by little, we began to set earthly things as our standards, as our measure for progress. And before you, now listen, that's why a lot of the explosion of the church in Nigeria happened. Because suddenly we closed the bar, but we obscured the distinction between those who are going to heaven and those who are staying permanently on the earth. Did you catch that? That is so. The focus will gather. My messages are full of how to make it on the earth. For many of us, we don't realize that we preachers. Our teachings are now on, they are not on, this thing shall be added unto you. They are on how do you make these things happen. Let me tell you, prosperity has been defined in scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be what? Added. It's an addition. Solomon said, if you pursue them, you're vain. You are chasing vanity. You are chasing after wind. It's very difficult for us many times to balance it. Does that mean we're not supposed to walk? No. Walking for us is faithfulness. Walking is responsibility. Walking is one of the ways by which we learn and we improve our character. We interact. What is inside us comes out. So because what cleanses you really is when you continue to pray. He said, he's faithful to forgive you of your sins if you confess them and cleanse you of all what? Unrighteousness. All right. Cleanses us. Okay. But we can't confess what we don't know is inside. So that's why David will say, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Are you getting my point? So it's very important. So when we walk, these are the things we are achieving as believers. Through that method of interacting with people, things hidden inside us are being brought out, and then we can get cleansed. Because we confess our sins when we make those discoveries. I hope you're getting my point. For us, everything is an assignment. It's about being faithful. It's about being faithful. Listen to me. This is how Christians make progress. Listen, God opens a door and you step into it. And in that door that is open, you prove faithful. Listen, he will open another door. I've said this again and again. As a Christian, you cannot. You can try. You can try. All right? You can try to make long-term plans. Let me assure you, they will fail. 99 times out of 100, long-term plans fail. Christians are supposed to have short-term plans. You can have long-term desires, but your plans must be to be faithful and effective today. When the Lord Jesus says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, he meant it. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Your job is get up in the morning and tackle. Now, day is not always 24 hours. If you're a student, you're in university, you're 100 level, your day is 4 years, 5 years, is a day, 6 years, depending on the course you're studying. Be faithful while you are there. Do you get my point? Life has been compartmentalized. Don't worry about the long-term thing. Some people say, I want to study this course so I can be this. Listen, if that was the case, I wouldn't be a preacher today. I don't have a degree in theology. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
Look, those of us who studied medicine in school those days, there was a huge number, because we stayed long in school, longer than other people, a huge number of prophets and pastors came from amongst us. When we went to school, something else we went to do. A huge number. Proportionally. Now, when we're in school, because you tended to be more mature after being there for a long time, when you get to fifth year medicine, you see heads of fellowships. They could almost form a fellowship or fellowship heads in one class. So we gathered a lot of experience. In university, That was when I did a love of my ministerial training without even knowing. Long-term plans. You can have long-term desires. You can't have long-term plans. They don't always work. In fact, they hardly work. And when you think you are very smart, see, many of those testimonies you hear, they are edited. Yeah. No. Even Steve Jobs said it. No one can plot a line in the path looking forward. It's always when you are looking back. How did you get here? I will tell you. But where are you going? I can't effectively tell you. So those long-term plans, make them for because of the fun of them, you understand? Because you wouldn't believe. It's very hard to just settle down and not do anything. So you got to plan. You got to plan. But the truth is that just know at the back of your mind, say this is just exercise, though, just to keep busy. The truth is that it doesn't always work like this. It does not always work like this. All right? Now, this is where I'm going. Can God make a Christian wealthy? Listen to this. The answer is what? Yes. A young man asked me once, now listen to the answer I gave him. He said, is it a sin to want to be rich? I said to him, the answer is yes, a capital yes. To want to be rich is iniquity. He was surprised. I said, yes. I said, to be rich is not a sin. To appear to be rich, maybe in the eyes of people, is not a sin. For God to give you abundance is not a sin. But to want it, you are a sinner. I know it's not popular teaching, but I will tell you. What the Bible say about those who want to be rich? I'm not inventing it. It said they pass through many hurtful lusts and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. I hope you know that's an apostolic declaration. The same person that told you that Christ rose from the dead and you believe it, he also said that. Why don't you want to believe that? When you give your life to Christ, please go and read my article. He's not like other gods. Jesus doesn't bring you in to help you fulfill your dreams. If they told you that when you're giving your life to Christ, please go and collect your life back. Did you hear what I said? If they told you that when you were giving your life to Christ, go and collect your life back. Go and tell the Lord Jesus, I know they do again. Let me tell you what Jesus typically does. You had your long-term plan for fishing business. One day he walks in and says, follow me. You will not fish for fish anymore. You like fishing? Yeah, come and fish, man. You've gone to do your chartered accounting and taxation fellowship. Then he comes to where you are doing your tax collection. He looks at you and says, follow me. And that's it, apostolic work. You ain't collecting any tax anymore. Even when the minister starts collecting money, they give it to the thief to handle. You that study accounting, they collect it from you. They don't give it to you. That's what he does. Because the Bible talks a lot about prophets, but let me just say how God scatters things. David, you love the Lord. You are very good at taking care of your sheep, and you love to sing and play the harp. If they ask David, what do you want me to do for you? He would have said, multiply my flock. See, there's this harp they make in Turkey or somewhere in Uzbekistan. I like that one. There's this flock, I don't know whether they're like 1,000 now, if they can hit 5,000 or 10,000. You know, that's the dream. Then they call him one day, said, the Lord came to your house. The Lord is in the house, sent a prophet. What does he want? You enter the place, the prophet pours oil on you. So you're going to be a king. He does that. There was a man, the farmers, and I think he was a big man in the family. His name was Elisha. And one day, he was supervising. People were plowing with 12 pairs of oxen. Now, do you understand what that means? It was a large job they were doing. I assume they owned the place or his family. And the prophet went past, took his mantle and threw it on him. Because the Lord said, go and anoint Elisha in your stead. So much for his long-term plans in the farming business. If somebody told you that when you give your life to Christ, it will help you achieve your dreams, please go and renegotiate too. Otherwise, disappointments are waiting for you in front, one after the other. Because many times that dream is the very thing he wants to take from you. It's the primary thing he's collecting. Today I want to tell you again, the Lord collects you. The Lord collects you. Why was angry with false prophets? They've entered the church and Jesus is now wondering, who's Lord here? I said something the other time. He said, God answers prayers all the time. Amen? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Well, listen to me. I say it again. It does not always do what you say. He does not always do what you say. I don't want to use the word ask. Because sometimes we think faith means we will declare. God will do it. Who is it that says a thing and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? You know why? It's just logical that he would not do everything you say. Because that makes you the master. That makes you the boss. So it's not doing work with the Lord. And Jesus is his friend. You said, do you want that kind of title? That you are the Lord. He's the friend. The friendship of Jesus, eh? They do one with care. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the friend of Jesus. Just don't ever make a mistake. Make the mistake of thinking you're not the boss. There's something I always tell people. When you are friendly with a senior person, joke all the time with the person and make your respect a joke too. I hope I get my point.
Yes.
You see your boss. Ah, the man likes you so much. Ah, Fred, how are you? And I say, maybe that's me, your boss's name is Ifeanyi. Say, Ifeanyi, my guy, what's up? See, your favor has vanished. There was a day my wife was offended with one woman. You know, young lady, she's very friendly with them, you know. So she now got married. All right? So maybe she's one of those people that felt that marriage increases your this thing. You know what they call this thing? You know they call this thing? Your this thing will not be the same again. Whatever that is, I don't know. So my wife was very friendly with her, free and all of that. Then, so one day, shortly after that, one day she was driving out of church. My wife now greeted her. I can't remember the name. They just called his name. My Angela, you know, Angela. Huh? She went to greet my wife, but she said, see your life. My wife pinched her lips. She said, my friend, behave yourself. Was that what you did that day? Huh? Roswell, she just held her mouth. I mean, mission. Because we are both married women now. So, sorry, because I play with you. Okay, behave. That kind of thing. You should have just parked the car and jumped and said, mama, my mama. Yeah, you jump, bend down and grab her waist and laugh. That's how they behave. You will maintain the relationship. There was someone I knew in this town. He's late now. I used to tell my wife, I said, do you see where I relate with him? Some people don't know. I've seen people who are my age mates insult him. He's a very free person. He plays with everybody. I said, have you noticed that if I enter his office, he had an office in New Haven here. I said, I jokingly bowed. I'll go, sir. Morning, sir. Hey, Pastor Banky. I said, yes, sir. Your boys are loyal, sir. We'll be playing. He will say all kinds of things. I said, no, this man keeps bringing himself down. I have a responsibility to go lower. So when you hear Jesus is your friend, don't get deceived. That's what I'm telling this whole story. Jesus is your friend. You're reminding yourself. Jesus should not deceive me. He's the Lord. I don't get my point. Now, use the word deceive now in quotes. Don't get too familiar. Don't get too familiar. He's the Lord. He's the boss. You don't give him instructions. You take instructions from him. When he denies you something, thank him for it. You know, and he's so much wiser than you. Before you were born, the Lord had a long plan that you don't even know where it is. See, maybe you're 35 now. You don't know what he planned for you to be at 70. I feel like telling Christians, you don't understand. You can't plan for the Lord like that. Should you plan? Yes. On what? Short-term basis. Occupy with this. There are two sides of life. Occupy with this. That's the first side. The second side is when I come. Did you catch that? Say, occupy with this till I come. Make all your plans on those talents. How do I use it? How do I prove faithful? Then one day, he will come. I've told this story many times. If you haven't heard it before, let me tell you again. And if you have heard it before, I will tell my story again. It's my message. Ron Kenoly. gifted. He was a secular musician. He gave his life to Christ. Then he felt the thing in him to continue to sing. So, all right, let's sing for the Lord. And everybody knew how they make their plans. You record a demo tape, you will send to a recording company. A lot of them were reporting back to him, we are not interested in new artists, we are not interested in new artists. When he got the last rejection, he was so sad, he entered the church and locked God inside. Him and the Lord, they locked each other there. He said to the Lord, see, nobody wants to listen to me. You will listen. Shebi, now you give me the gift. Oh, yeah. He sat there and played. He said he played for like 2 hours. All the songs he knew, maybe he had written, he kept playing them one after the other. He was on the keyboard. Then finally, he fell down in worship. He was crying all this while. I said to you before, I said last time, every affliction, you must gain by making a higher level of dedication. After that rejection, you know what he did? He told the Lord, henceforth, I will write nobody. That is, from now on, nobody. I'm not writing anybody anymore. I'm just going to, he said, occupy with this until I come. What was it that God gave him? He was the music director in a church. He put himself into that job fully. He dedicated himself, devoted himself. This is the job God has given me now. He was leading me worship in a church. Of course, he would do part of administration, whatever they are doing in that church. But he was a, what we call choir director. Americans would call him music pastor. That was what he was doing for the next few years. Until one of the directors of Hosanna Music came in. And he just came. I think, you know what he did not know? His gist had spread. People had said that if you get into that church, you will hear their praise worship. It had gotten to Integrity Music, that was Hosanna Music, their headquarters. And they sent one of them to come and see. And the fellow saw and walked up to him and gave him a card. I'm so and so person. Please, can you pray about recording an album with us? Now God brought the door to his house and opened it. And the first thing they did was to record Jesus is Alive. It was good. I mean, you can get it now if you are using any of these days. Getting music is not work anymore. They are all the streaming platforms. Just give them small money. You have a million songs available. So you can go and listen to Jesus is Alive. I really love it. I don't even know whether I prefer it to Lift Him Up. I don't know. But it's beautiful. But it wasn't so, not many people knew about it. Then he did Lift Him Up. And the Holy Spirit took a gallon of oil and poured it on Lift Him Up. And the thing caught fire worldwide. Then people started going back to go and listen to Jesus Alive. I only knew of Jesus Alive after Lift Him Up came out. And what's the point? In the verse, I said the point. When they came to Lagos then, I went for a program in Lagos and he was one of the guest ministers. So at the minister session, he was teaching. He said just before he came to Nigeria, it had just been declared. That was around 90, no, I'm not very sure now. Because I can't spend time trying to remember. It was around 95, 96. Between 94 and 96. I can't remember the exact year. So he had just been declared. It was around 94. Because the minister that invited him died in 95, I remember. Yeah, so around 93, 94. Or at worst, early 95. And he said that had been declared the best-selling praise and worship album ever produced on the earth. Just before he came to Nigeria. The thing sold. There was no streaming that time. If there was streaming, it, we have streamed that in 1 billion times. Even unbelievers, they were jamming to it. Even unbelievers. It was praise worship. Everybody listened to Lift Him Up. Until Brother Ron Kenoly, who passed on some time ago, became a household name. But that was after he gave up. See, let me explain something. Giving up for the Lord is not a threat. It's not a trick. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When he said, I won't ask anybody again, it's not Lord until you do it. That's it. And let me say this. There are many people who said to the Lord, I won't ask anybody again. And God didn't do this one for them. He did something else for them. We take lessons here and there. Chris Okotie, pastor of Household of God, Lagos. Many of, if you know Chris Okotie here, say amen.
Yeah.
Okay, you know of Chris Okotie. That's good. Do you know Davido? Adeleke. No Wizkid. There are some other boys, I don't know many of them, but I know some of them. Rima. Or is it Rema or Rima? Uh-huh. That was the Davido of his days. That was Chris Okotie. He was the Wizkid of his time. He was a student right here, University of Nigeria, Enugu campus. That was when he was jamming nationwide. Since he gave his life to Christ, he has not released one album. Don't joke with Jesus Christ, though. When he gave his life to Christ, what do you expect? He will now produce, "He saved me, he saved me, I lie." You can do "He saved me," he'll put you in prison. You know who I'm talking about. Those who know. If you know, you know. Some people don't know what I'm talking about. The work is lost. Elder John is lost. I beg. Nduka, help your brother. He's lost. Okay. Yeah, so R. Kelly. He released a album. He saved me. He saved me. He goes, I saved you. All right. Oh, God, God is your boy. If today I saved you, you will see. He put him in prison. Stay there for the rest of your life. What would negotiate? Chris Okotie, since then, not one album. Many reasons, but partly because one day he was in his Church of God mission. Archbishop Idahosa told him to sing, and he refused. He used to sing in his church. I attended services a day, number of times. I had a friend. That's where we used to meet. If I want to go and see him, it was easier for me to just block him in church. And sometimes I just go to the service when I was in Lagos. So he comes to church, takes a mic, he sings very well. The gift didn't disappear. In case you don't know, he gave his life to Christ. Who remembers the year? But I can assure you, it was before 1986. So it's not 2 days ago. It's around that time. It's like 40 years ago. Yeah. No, not a joke. And then he packed his load and went to Bible school after some years. Went to Bible school, came back, started Household of God Church in Lagos. I've told you, Jesus is not your, he's your friend, but don't be deceived. He has made up his mind what he wants to do with your life. You are not here coming to tell him that, "Hey, Lord, what about those plans?" They came to him, he said, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? Let me add my own words. Say, which kingdom? A lot of people don't know. Let me just tell you something. Some of you are Israel worshippers. Better wake up and worship Jesus Christ. Oh, you Israel worshippers. A lot of my brethren, they are there. Totally confused. You want to know the truth? Israel has done his work. The oracles of God, they kept it. Jesus came through them. After that, the wall of partition, Paul said, God broke it. To God now, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. Any message you hear, God will fulfill his promise to Israel. Leave that thing. God has fulfilled every promise he wants to fulfill, and they're all in Christ. But I'm going to revise your theology. One man, I was reading the other day. I said, in fact, the man, he's an American missionary. I get his mails and all of that. Then, one day he wrote something. You know, I was forced to reply him. I said, "Sir, you are the," I said, "from America, you are the first person I've ever heard him talk like this." And before I had published a long list of questions on this Jewish, Israel, God's promise matter, so I sent it to him. I wasn't disagreeing with him. I said, "Sir, just to show you that people here think the way you do, I said, these are the questions I asked my friends to challenge them on this matter." I sent the email. He replied to me after some time. I was reading him a few days ago. Have you heard of replacement theology? What's replacement theology? Yeah, that the church has replaced Israel. Good. You know what he said? He said that's not the real replacement. He said the real replacement theology is the error we propagate now that will take the promises that God gave to the church and say it's for Israel. He said that is replacement theology. He's countering it. You want to know the truth? In Christ is when... Why do we forget one statement? In fact, the man was arguing with some of these things that is going on in the Middle East. There's one scripture I keep quoting. Jesus said, your house will be left to you what? Until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Those of you who are carrying placard and praying, you have not prayed. Jesus gave a condition which has not been met. Disappointment is waiting for you in front. I don't want to say more than that. You know, I'm talking about it. I was talking about somebody just now. Eh? Yeah, no, there's somebody else. Oh, there's something I was saying which made me talk about Israel now. Okay, maybe it was in my mind. Maybe I had not said it. Anyway, I was trying to say something. Oh, God help me. It's the reason why I went to this Israel matter. I want to let you know that way I was doing that, God is fulfilling promises to everybody. The same way God gave promises to Israel, he gave to everybody. And all of them are fulfilled in Christ. There's something I was trying to say. Just escape me now, please. I got distracted. But let me get back to my message. This man, Jesus looked at him and said, I have another job for you. He came back, became a pastor, and that's the job he's doing till today. I said, by Jesus Christ, he's the boss. What did I say? He's the boss. He's the boss. The way he does his things, there's one thing, there's some truth to it, but it's not always true. In fact, don't sit on it. Sometimes it happens, other times it doesn't. Some people say that the gift you have is the one God wants to use. Jesus said, when you come, I factory reset you. I give you another gift. I will endue you. See, let me explain. When Peter started speaking, when John started speaking, everybody said, these are not gifted men. These are not trained men. How come they have the ability to speak like this? And they reasoned that they had been with Jesus, which was a wrong conclusion, even though it was true, but that was not the explanation. What was the reason they were speaking like that? Because they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. But they didn't understand. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will do things you have not been able to do before. So Peter and co, you understand? The kind of things they were able to do, they were not able to do them before. They were not in the horizon. Those things. Peter was not a hidden spokesperson or somebody that maybe had not discovered his gift. He didn't have it. When God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah did not know how to speak. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
So, don't assume that God... Sometimes it happens that you discovered it early. Sometimes the anointing comes and you misuse it. I talked about one preacher, all right? I got his name wrong. There, I mentioned it here. I checked the correct name later, all right? And he said Elvis Presley was anointed, was called by God to move the crowd, but for evangelism, not for what he's here for. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making in all of these things, all right? I was talking about this man the other day who said he went to... He loved to play music. He didn't have the gift. He went into meditations, astral projections and all of that. By the time he returned 48 hours later, he could play instruments. I hope you're getting my point. See, God can. He will call you into something you never thought you could do today. And he will anoint in such a manner, people who knew you before, their jaws will open when they see you. This Jesus you are dealing with. When he pours upon you power from on high, you'll be surprised. He has his own plan. Please don't forget that. That's what I'm making. It's part of the thing I'm saying. I'm going somewhere. So sometimes, we may think that we already know. Jesus said, no, you don't know. I'm coming. He said, you don't know. I'm coming. Let me talk about education as an example. You have a bachelor's in this. Masters in that, bachelor's in that, you studied this, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you're an engineer, you are this, you are that. University's primary purpose is to produce what? Educated minds, not professionals. Don't ever forget it. I think I can say, just rough estimate, just off the cuff, I didn't think about it before. 70% or more of people who are in university today will end up doing something not related to what they studied. Is that true or false? Sometimes they get employed in a company with their degree, a bachelor's in engineering. Within 5 years, the company has seen them fit to head somewhere else and retrain them. Companies can retrain people. They'll just retrain you. I think I can say that with confidence. So when you're in university, get educated, get enlightened. I saw one guy one day. He was working for my wife. I looked at him. He said, "The way I'm looking at you, I've never read a novel." He said, "No, sir." I said, "And you went to university?" These days that smartphones are now forms of entertainment, let me just tell you. A lot of people are graduating and they are more ignorant than SS3 children have taught. And they are university graduates. Don't let it happen to you. Please, when you go to university, read more than that engineering. You're trying to go?
Yes, sir.
Read more than that law that they are teaching you. Law of thought, land use acts, all those kind of things. Go there and read astronomy too. That is, ask what is Alpha Centauri. Ask yourself, what is James Webb telescope? Not when we are talking, say it's for you science people. No, that's common knowledge. Every human being should have it. Some of you are looking at me, that was James Webb. Look at you. You're not even ashamed of yourself. I don't care whether your degree is in mathematics. You should know the meaning of recession. When they say an economy is in recession, you should know what it means. At least that's how you can cope with life. I don't want to sit on that. You go to school to get generally educated, not to go and study on a narrow course that AI has made irrelevant now. There are things you study in university that AI has just made your work useless. That is, AI is not doing better than you. That's one thing that till today is still, let me speak my in English, it still wonders me. That is, how this AI thing works beats me till today. And I think I know a bit of these sciences and stuff. Well, I'm going to say something you started in university to do for 4 years. AI now does it better than you. The annoying part is not even that AI is doing it. It's doing it with prompts. That's simple prompt. Just say, please do this, well, after 5 minutes. Hey, I like the way ChatGPT does it, say, thinking. The point I'm making is that, please, when you're in university, open your heart. Grab left, right, and center. You are in school to become enlightened. A lot of people around are, you see, when you go to university, those days, they don't do these days, all right? Those days in university, they still do it in law school. Law school, they still do it. Law school, they have dinners in which you are scored on your etiquette. Lawyers, am I right? Don't tell me the lawyers didn't come today. Or am I lying? Any lawyers out there? If you are online, you're a lawyer. Maybe you should type yes. Actually, yeah, they do. I don't know what they still do now, but then they used to do it. Dinner, they come. They inspect how you sat, how you are, because they don't want to train lawyers that would disgrace the profession. Those in the university, they used to do it generally. When schools were not as complicated and crowded as now, there are days that students will go. And they teach you how to eat in public. They deliberately, I've forgotten one story. Was it pastor? Oh, one of these prominent pastors. Yeah. When they enter university, does this. Going around, inspecting people. So they see, when they see you, shows your mouth full of food. So how are you? Are you enjoying this? Once you answer, they fail you. So you don't know, you don't talk with a mouth full of food. Yeah. They used to teach university students. I like the fact that in UNEC now, every faculty now has uniform. Yeah, to those who don't know, I don't know the university you go to. They think it's only Covenant University. In UNEC here, law faculty, what do they wear? White and black. Business studies, light blue, over navy blue, right? College of Medicine students, what's their own color? White and white. Black and white. You know why they started doing that? People started misdressing. I was head of the department the day our dean sent a circular telling us how our students are supposed to dress. And the staff you're supposed to circulate to all the lecturers, demanding that you cooperate and enforce the faculty rules. They didn't want people dressing like they smoke something, and they said they are medical students. So they told him, look, you have your white coat, you have that weight. For boys, they didn't care really at that time for us, for the clinical students. Color was not the issue. But you have to wear a tie, you wear a shirt, you wear this, and then if you don't want to wear your coat, no problem. Then you give you a color code. But otherwise, dress properly and put your coat on it. Which was very, for me, just follow the other rule, because heat, can't wear that white coat for lectures. But the aim was that to teach you how to be a responsible adult. I'm saying all of this for us to know, all right? When you go to school, these are the things you will learn. Polish your intonation. Eh? Do you follow my point? Don't go there and you're still exchanging R for L. So one woman in my office, please, buy the church card. I gave her money to go and buy me. She said, you won't grow, Abby? I said, I don't want to grow, madam. I won't grow. Listen, you can learn proper accent. I'm not saying you should be spraying like when you go. But please, when you are telling, if there is life, there is hope. That is not good. It's not good. Say it properly. Learn these things. I'm saying all of this, that it is not that you didn't go to university just to go and perfect one profession. Because you can finish that profession, despite your plans and your dreams, God send you somewhere else. And you see somebody else doing what you trained for in school. And they trained on the job, and they are so skilled. No one guy then, he studied, architecture. There are two people I'm thinking about now. Let me not miss. One was a doctor, the other was an architect. When they finished NYC, somebody looked and said, man, this guy is smart. They persuaded him to become a helicopter pilot. The other one, like I said, there are two of them. One a doctor, one an architect. The other one, when the people that he worked with looked at him, sat him down and convinced him to become an accountant. Accountant. Took him to an accounting and consulting firm. Trained him. In a few years, he was a chartered accountant. If you saw his first degree, was that architecture or medicine? So I'm just telling you something. Relax. What did I say?
Relax.
Jesus can redirect your life. It doesn't mean anything. Sometimes we just think that, okay, no, if this was what I was training for. No. The Lord will come, rearrange your life. After we are talking about the Lord. It's not Jesus Christ that we're talking about. Who's the Lord? How many of us go abroad and become nurses? Caregivers. When you were living here, you were a bank manager. We see you after a short while. You are a very good nurse. If it's Jesus that told you to do that now, you would grumble. Now, what you shall eat, what you shall drink has given you work now. If Jesus was one that called you, he came to your bank, said, come and follow me. You go be vexed now. But now you don't reach UK, you don't reach North America. No party for jungle. You don't talk to yourself. What is the way forward? you know, God knows how he does people. Meanwhile, some of people listen to me. God say, when your cousin answered the call to ministry, you know how you abused him. That's why I brought you here, to do the same thing to you. What are you saying? After all the years in training, he's an engineer. And as he says, he's doing ministry. And to keep body and soul together, he's doing home lesson on the side and teaching SS3 people so he can do ministry. You are abusing that. I say, God, no problem. God said, there's no problem. God said, no, Allah, I will show you something. I will give you a visa. You will relocate to Europe. I will turn you to a caregiver in an old people's home. And I will make Pastor Banky remind you of the day you were laughing at your cousin who left engineering because he had a second class upper in engineering. And you thought he should become the next manager of MTN. And now he's the pastor of a rural church. And just to do things so he can influence small people there, he's now teaching maths and physics on the side. And you were in the village meeting when they were abusing him. God said, I've done the same thing to you now. But you know, people at home don't know. They think you're happy. I will frustrate your life until you call your cousin and send him an offering and start supporting him. Supporting his ministry. You know, it's very funny. Things we used to laugh at Christians about. People are now doing it now for survival. If a doctor left his work and went to start a church and is praying there at night and is doing evangelism, you say, you don't know what's wrong with these Christians. You are doing the same thing now. You left your bank. You left the big job that you had in this country. Is it not the same thing? Maybe we had business before. This is our God there. What God cannot do? Does not exist. It did disgrace people well. And this one you are doing that. I won't give you any reward in heaven. I think your cousin you are laughing at. I will reward the day of judgment. When he faces the judgment seat of Christ, I will tell him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. People disrespect Christianity. I used to do one thing those days. I think the Lord has said I shouldn't do it again. Abi, is this is what I thought is not good? I don't know. I used to react angrily when you talk to me because you think I'm a Christian. You know, it's like I'm supposed to be humble. I said, no, I'm not going to be humble towards you. It's towards God. When I finish with you, one man, the radio station manager, I walked to his office one day. By the time I finished with him, he said, how can a pastor? I said, my friend, will you shut up? Do you know what pastor is supposed to say? I can't tell you what I told him. I told him, like, my friend, go to hell. He said, a pastor? I said, yes. You should know, I know more than you. So I tell you, go to hell. The guy was shocked. Now, that's not what I said. I said something far worse. I just can't tell you what I said. I can't. The guy annoyed me that day. I looked at him. I entered his office. He said, you know what he said to me? He said, I hate being harassed. And you are harassing me. I said, I'm harassing you. I said, you know your problem? You're this bloody refugee. I didn't say that one, but I thought it. There's a reason why. Because he came from UK. I said, listen. I said, you know your problem? They didn't train you how to talk to people. I told him. That day, he said that. He thinks I should leave his office. I said, your office? Why didn't I'm standing? I'm on my way out. There's nothing to do here. He said something. When I answered him, I just walked out of my friend. Get out. You know the only reason why I did it? Should I tell you the truth? The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. It's just because I felt he was talking like this because I was a preacher. He wouldn't talk to like that to the MD of Guinness if they came to advertise there. I was paying to broadcast the word. Then I warned the guy. He said, I have the degree in psychology. I said, my friend, in case you don't know, I am a consultant pathologist. I know book more than you. What's wrong with you? I said, second year in university, they taught me psychology. One of the things I had to do to pass mental health. Yes, why are they causing mental health in my university? A full course. So, boy, warn yourself. That day, the only reason I answered him was because you're talking to... Reverend, you guys laughing because he remembers the story. He and the man became friends. You know he's nice. He too is nice. He and the man, they became friends. The only reason why I talked to him was because I said, you are talking to me like this because I'm a preacher. You know what I'm saying? So people don't disrespect Jesus Christ so much. When they cause their cousin to ministry, they say it doesn't have sense. Then they will go and become caregivers. And leave banking job. That's the point too. The head of marketing for Coca-Cola, you will leave. But when Jesus called your cousin, you were insulting all of us. Just be thanking God. I'm wondering to all of you behave like that. Just be thanking God, that he won't call what they call witnesses on the day of your judgment. Because what will for do you that day? You and God. We are just handling ourselves. I'm saying all of this is for us to know that. In fact, my main message today is that God takes from people. He redirects lives. Brethren, he scatters lives. There are those who were engaged. They entered church. They left. God scattered the engagement. They entered. They just came to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. By the time they finish, the guest stays behind, continues worship. And then God says, stay here. Enter that taxi. Travel. Don't talk to that guy for 6 months. At the end of 6 months, I will have finished dealing with you. That guy will hate Jesus for the rest of his life. That's his problem. God doesn't just come to confirm your plans. You know what I want to tell you today? He takes things from people. I don't want to say more things that he takes, but let me just let me leave it there. He came to reveal his own plans to you. He takes from people. He redirects their lives. There are those. Remember the story of our brother? He was teaching a secondary school in Anambra State. I applied for a job in First Bank. First Bank gave him the job. And he was going to start. Then he stopped by just to maybe do something Kingdom World Office. And while waiting, he picked the book, Don't Quit the Army. He said he read the back, just the back of the book, just like this kind of book now. He read just the back, what they call the blob at the back. But that's all he read. The appointment letter was to him. He had to decline it. He said he just realized that he was about to leave the lost posting. He just realized he was about to leave where God posted him to. And the funny thing is that if you check the book, I wrote at the back, I said, warning, was written in red. Don't read this book if you don't want to serve the Lord. And I'm instructing those who are listening to me today, go and pick the book, read it. It's free to download online. Go to our website, pastor.ng. Go to the book section. You see it to download. He just read, he said he realized that God posted me somewhere. I'm about to leave it. Of course, what's the main reason? Temporal gain. I don't have a lot of money. These guys are going to pay me better. I work hard here. I work hard in the other place, but I get much more money. But the place where he was working, he was a terror to the kingdom of darkness amongst young children. Secondary children who are joining cults, gangs. He was able to minister to them. God said, listen, that's more important to me than the money you are going to earn. Brethren, God takes from people. See, why I was angry with false prophets, of course, which at the same time as false teachers, is when they start setting earthly things as a goal for our existence. I heard somebody quoting today. I was quoting one man of God. I forgot the name. The man was saying, look, a poor Christian is better than a rich unbeliever, he said. He said, a man with Christ that doesn't have money is better than the one that doesn't have Christ but has money. He now said, the one with Christ and has a lot of money is not different from the one with Christ that doesn't have. That's one thing I want Christians to learn again. This pursuit of earthly success is too bad. People are abandoning their work. Do you know, I've heard ministers say this. Maybe not directly to me, people report. They're starting church. Where? This is Lagos now. Ikorodu. Ah. How long would it take you to recover your investment? See, some of the doctrines you hear some people, pastors preach, that's why. They have to recover what they invested. Say, no, now mention some two areas of Lagos. Go VI. At least within 2 years, you guys, if you can manage this amount of number, that's why they will harass those people. Tithe, offering, first fruit, redeem your firstborn, everything. Because you got to redeem this investment I made. The offering cannot be free will. You see, people are not counting the number of souls that have been saved. They're not counting lives that have been impacted. They are counting. I said somebody told a friend of mine, this is not a long story, the man that was told is one that reported it to me. They say he should bring money for crusade. That the returns will be good. See, you know the man that we used to have meeting together in the office, no? You know, three of us, the elderly lady, the other man, and me. Yeah, okay, yeah. You've been to that fellowship for me. The other man, you know, we are three that run the place. Yeah. The second man. The one that told me, he said, Pastor Mark, you see what happened? Someone told him that you should bring money and then go and do crusade. That the returns will be good. Crusade. Now, in case you, please, can I just advise you? That is how to be destroyed early. Number one, God is angry with you. Number two, bank is angry with you. So against people like you, I have prayed. That guide thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty one. And ride on prosperously and in majesty because of truth. And let your right arm do awesome things. I pray that kind of prayer for people like you. You go and present the gospel for this precious gospel of Jesus, that returns will be good. No, for people like you, I told the Lord, please, for people like this, find something else to, you know, put them in prison somewhere, let them be preaching the gospel there. Because just the messing up the gospel of Jesus Christ for money. That kind of nonsense. People gather people to collect their cars, collect their this thing, collect this one. And that's a problem because earthly success is what we are pursuing. I came here today to tell you, God takes from people. Some of you are listening to me. You have gone to give your cars an offering that God will give you another one. Hear the word of the Lord. Tracking for 10 years. That's your portion. I'll say it again. Your trek has been extended by 10 years. Say, Pastor, what should I do now? Go and confess your sins. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will I get my car back? You won't get it back. But just know I'm not ready. Go and work hard. I will forgive you if you just know that I don't owe you anything because you gave out a car as an offering. Everything is now a transaction. I went to preach somewhere one day. I was saying, don't be selfish. Don't be, you know, self-centered. I said, you are saying God should give you a car. You said, have you ever given somebody a spare tire? I said, you are blessed to be a blessing. I finished preaching. He came and said, sir, you are saying that if I want a car, I should give her the spare tire. You know, I don't say bad things again. I would have asked Thunder to do something to him. In all this, I said, that's what you heard. 3 days of preaching, I almost got everybody back. All I said was, don't be self-centered. Why is it me? You don't have a car, at least you have enough money. That's somebody something now. He says, so, if I need a car. That guy, God just saved him. Because there are prophets, they will say, you need a car. The Lord said, everything you have now, on you, at home, bring it and lay it at the altar. I collect everything, I go back to Enugu. You ain't getting nothing. God will punish me later, but at least right there. This is why we believe all that nonsense, because we are so concerned. How many people have heard a word like this? If you will give your car to the gospel, we'll cover the whole of northern Nigeria. Have you ever heard that? And when you say that, they know we'll not release the motto. For what now? Hey, but I like people like John G. Lake in his days. He was raising money in America. He was preaching. He described the work they were doing in South Africa. He said, I make you a promise. For every cent you give, I return one soul. Did you catch that? You can Google it, you find it inside one of his books. Just read some of his books. The sermon was printed in some of those books. He said, this is a vow I'm making before you. For this work we are doing, every cent, one soul. He described the kind of men he had working for him. He said, that's why I can tell you. He said, the revival we had there built 10,000 churches and all of that. It was built on the blood of men. He will show you the kind of things people did. It's a story I tell all the time. Well, anytime I tell it, it brings tears to my eyes. I will be calm, all right? Let me try. I will try. Just if it doesn't work, I'll stop. You know, people they are giving, something happened, the flow of money stopped. So he sold all his men, come back. There's no small allowance he used to give them, white men, to go into the bush in South Africa to go and preach. Said they didn't have any more. So he called them back and said, please, you guys make your decisions. Each one of you, decide. I don't have money anymore to send. They told him to wait outside. They talked amongst themselves. When they finished, they called him back in. He saw their self-communion to death was a vow that we will die. We won't come back. They said, please, when you hear we died, come and bury. He said, I hear. I buried men, I buried wives, I buried children. And look at people, I want to give car. That was the man that promised. He said, I promise you a soul for every cent you give. You know how many cents are in $100? Calculate it now. Of course, this was years ago. The $100 that time is probably like $5,000 now. But he was saying to them, if you give me $10, I will give you 1,000 souls. It's 100 cents in a dollar. If you give me $100, said, no, just do the calculation. That's 10,000 souls. He said, I vow. Let's get our values right. Those who want to work for God. Let's get it right. Say, those men set communion. They were not looking for healing. You were looking. It was a vow they made that would die there. There were hundreds of them, at least scores of them. They returned there, and he said that year, he gave the number. I just don't have it off it. The number of men he had to go and bury, because that was the only thing they asked. So he was going from mission field to mission field, burying people. And the rest didn't return. They won't say, we heard that this one has died. We are going back. That's why I began by telling that, look, I'm angry with false prophets. Who tell you to give an offering. God will just give you 3 times tomorrow. My friend, will you shut up? If you don't want to serve God. You know the way I preach. My friend, carry your money and get out of here. Hello. You know, one story I used to illustrate a lot of times. I was in a church. They said, look, I should help raise money. And nothing wrong with raising money. I just don't tell lies. I don't promise what God does not promise. I told them, see, this church, only people like us here that will maintain it. At the end, they now put on the, so I told them to share the slipper, you make your promise, your vow, and all of that. And that's a real prayer point. Write your prayer point. I told the whole church. I said, do you see that paper? They said, yes. I said, at the bottom, the real prayer point. Can you see it? They said, yes. I said, don't lie. Nobody's going to pray for you. I said, no, I told them, the whole church, you're laughing. I said, that is a lie. Nobody is planning to pray for you. I'm not planning. I'm here to collect your money. If you want to serve God, bring the money. If you don't want to, get out. I said, if you need prayer, where the head of the prayer unit, he stood up. I said, look at him there. If you need prayer, go and ask him. This is not prayer paper. This is money paper. I said, because I'm not going to go. I don't care how rich Aliko Dangote is. I will not go. Some people will be writing letter to Aliko to come and give to the gospel. You are not normal. If you offer, you should turn him down. Say, Elijah, don't worry. God takes. That's the point I'm making. It's not transaction we are doing. This life has been given to Christ. This life has been what?
Given to Christ.
And he does with the life anything he likes. One of the things he does, let me remind us of the story of Abraham in the Bible. God is very, he likes that thing. You come out of something, especially if you have not known him all your life. He told Abraham, come out from your father's house. Abraham came out. He said, no, leave your father's house behind. Leave your city, leave your father's house behind. Leave everything you know. You go and read Isaiah chapter 51 later. What God wanted was Abraham and Sarah alone. But Abraham couldn't give that. Abraham initially gave her his city, but he went with his father. So his father died on the road, on the way. Then God came back to him again. Abraham, follow me. Abraham went with Lot. And you know what God did? After a while, he removed Lot. Then along the line, Abraham acquired Hagar. And Hagar had Ishmael. Then you know what God did? At the point in time, he removed Hagar and he removed Ishmael. And then God gave Abraham Isaac. Good. Before then, he had given Abraham Isaac. This is a painful part for Abraham. It's a painful part, but then this is the fact. At the point in time, God even came to test whether Abraham will go on even without Isaac. Like what the prince said, he said, God will strip you until you have no choice but God. Let me tell you, if you have a fat bank account, and it's what we are planning on in case things go bad, God will not work with you until that bank account is empty. Did you hear what I said? See, he's not against bank accounts. He can load it. He can make it so fat. He can make prosperity flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He can do that. But there's what Job calls secretly stretching your hand to the moon in worship. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Maybe you hear that somebody is sick and they have to spend a lot of money to treat the person. And you look at how much they spent, 5 million naira. In your heart, you look at your bank balance, at least I have like 15 and I have at least 2-3 million coming periodically. So in your heart, if I'm sick now, money there for treatment. Please. God says, no problem. You want to sick or you don't want to sick? Say, Lord, I don't want to be sick. Good. Say that account, write a check, or distribute the money. I don't want to see 5,000 naira there before the end of next week. Just if you don't see what to do with it, throw party. But that money must finish. Go to church, drop an offering. Just scatter it. Think of your friend. You've not seen in a long time. Say, I heard that your daughter waited 3 years. I didn't give you anything 3 years ago. Send the money. Send the money that day. Say, I heard that your church did evangelism. You did a crusade. I didn't give you anything. Give. You see one church on the road. They are doing a program. You just stop by. Say, what do you need? You need buy them new equipment. Finish the money. Say, Lord, if I fall sick now, let me die. It doesn't matter. But say, good. I give you a new middle name, Abraham. You are ready to walk with me. Anything, let me tell you something. God is always trying to cure in our lives idolatry. Anything you have confidence in, apart from him, this, let me just tell you. Protect your wife, your husband, your children. Let them know they are not God. That's how you protect them. Our God is what? Jealous. This God is jealous. If you love your husband more than him, trouble. If you love your wife more than him, trouble. If you love your children more than him, trouble. So tell them the face, say, honey, I love you. You're so special to me after the Lord. And if you're a woman, you know, women like to feel that the most important thing in life. See, go and learn it too. Because I've told your husband now to go and tell you that the Lord is far more important to him than you. If you feel bad about that, you're in trouble. Because you are bold enough to want to compete with me for a position in your husband's heart. You know what the Bible says? Nebo has bowed down. Bel stoops over. Is it God? He has to bow Nebo down. Bel must bend over. Dagon must fall down. If you lift Dagon up, you break the arms of Dagon. You know Dagon? The god of is it Ashkelon, the Philistines? When they put the ark there, one angel, very nice angel, he just pushed the thing down. you don't know angels. They walk around. One walked in there physically. No, he said, Yusuf. He said, you be God. He pushed his thing down. The people came next day. They took it and raised it up. The angel came, pushed it down again. They came, they raised it up. The angel will break the arm, break the leg. So what kind of nonsense is this one? I said, stay there where you belong. When you get home, tell your husband, tell your wife, say, the Lord is most important in this house. And they say, please, say amen and mean it too, because we don't want trouble. He said, no, don't fear them. God is not so... See, you can love God and you can fear him at the same time. And it demands that fear. If you want to walk with the Lord, get ready. Periodically, he will be removing things from you. And that's the message I'm preaching. He doesn't only give, he takes. It's not everything you give to him that you now see the physical fruit like that. Many things God gives you back, you don't see them physically. Let me give an example. Many of us, we look at Joseph. God took his father's house from him. Then he gave him Pharaoh's house. You know, that's what he did. He gave him Egypt. He even brought his father to Egypt. All right? But we don't realize another thing. When he took Egypt from Moses, he didn't give Moses another Egypt on this earth. He did not. Moses was kept in the wilderness the rest of his life. And the day the people finished wearing him out, God killed him, join. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Many of us, you know, we like to, how many people like the book of Romans? If you love it, say amen. Okay? Some people say, I've not read it. Okay, you love the book of Ephesians. By grace you have been saved through faith. And not by, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. If you love that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You love that, amen?
Amen.
Philippians, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. If you love that, say amen.
Amen.
So you love the book of Philippians, don't you? You love Thessalonians, don't you? Spirit, soul, and body. May God keep your whole spirit and soul and body. And Do you love it? Amen. 2 Thessalonians. This is the will of God concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians, right? This is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. Do you love that?
Yes.
I could continue like that. All scripture is inspired. That's Timothy. We can continue quoting here and there. You love all these scriptures, don't you? So you love the book of Titus, the 2 letters of Timothy. You love all of them. So, do you love the Apostle Paul? Do you say amen if you do?
Amen.
Are you afraid? You're afraid of where I'm going. We all love Apostle Paul. As long as it's Apostle Paul. Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
But most of us will not volunteer to be Apostle Paul. And me preaching here, let me tell you the truth. If God says, Banky, you shall have the life of Paul, I will say, let this call pass over me. That's the I'm being honest with you. It's the first statement I will make. I'll just add the other one out of discipline. Nevertheless, not my will, though, but yours be done. However, still consider that call passing over. Because who wants to live a life like Paul? Who wants to? But many of us, as much as we love Paul and we know the impact he made in the body of Christ, we don't realize today, if he enter most of our churches, he's not welcome. He doesn't have results to show. After being in this ministry all these 30 years, he doesn't have his own boat. The guy didn't have his own house. The brethren will gather rent a house for him so that he won't stay in Roman prison. And he goes to minister, he still remembers to make tents. Be honest with you, if we analyze the life of Paul properly, most of our preaching today won't like it. We won't like it. We wouldn't like it. We can read him, but to be like him, no, we like the word Jesus said. You see the Pharisees, they sit in the seat of Moses. Do as they say. But that's the negative side. This one, do as Paul says, but brethren, I don't want to live like Paul. But that's the way we are. And it's not right. That's the point we're making. But don't worry, don't worry. If God wants to make you like Paul, the first thing he gives you is grace. So tap your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. Grace will be available.
Grace will be available.
But I need to preach this so that you will know that God goes in that direction till today. And one of the things he does, all right, is to remove things from people. Now, many of us think, and that's a matter of fact, I mean, that we are right up to an extent, that what God removes from us are bad things. And indeed, he does remove bad things from our lives. He does. However, open your Bibles, please, quickly. I'm talking about this critical ingredient for being useful to God. Jesus said, I lay my life down by myself. So you must be willing to lay things down for the Lord. And that's the message. Don't assume he only gives things. There are times he will come, look at something you like, and collect it. And he's not offering you anything in return more than usefulness. Did you hear what I said? All he's offering you is what? That you will be useful. You know, he looked at Paul. This Paul, I'm telling you. First thing he told Paul was how much he will suffer for his namesake. And Paul loved him so much, he said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life as dear unto myself. What's more important to me? 2 things. Number one, that I will apprehend that for which Christ apprehended me. And number two, that I will finish the course that he wrote, set in front of me. Every other thing, forget it. Will I have plenty? I can endure it. Will I have little? I can endure it. Paul considered having abundance something to endure. Yeah. I can bear it. That's what he said. Many of us think it's only difficulty you have to endure. If you know the judgments of God, you know that to have abundance is a risky venture. You die and there's a lot of money in your account. So God said, explain. And he knows what he means by explain. Were you laying up treasure on the earth? What are the instructions you gave concerning this? Okay, fine. How much is the money? 200 million. Fine. It's okay. Now, but this particular thing that was supposed to be done was not done because 25 million naira was lacking and you were aware. Why didn't you give it to them? I didn't think I would be the only one sponsoring everything in the church. Now, Lord, you know, I gave them 1 million naira. Lord said, but you had 200 lying down and the project was cancelled. Why do you think I gave you 200 million lying down? Well, like we say, you go explain, you go explain, you go explain, tire. Tell one angel, carry him to that side. I'll judge his matter later. No, it's a serious boy. I said we should open somewhere, right? No, I said that to let us understand that even prosperity, you have to go and get the tricks, you understand, for enduring it. You know, there's something this man said. What is his name? Warren Buffett. This is not a gospel thing, but he spoke wisdom. Many years ago, he gave 85% of his money to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I don't know about the current status now. Then he said the reason why he did it was that he and his wife had agreed that all the money they will make, they will give them out. They will give it out before they died. And his wife had died. So he was not the next person on the line. All right? He just retired earlier on this year. How old was he? When he retired, he's 93 now or so. Yeah, he's an old man. So he just retired now. So he decided that I should give out this money. You know what he said? He said giving out money is as difficult as making it. So you know what he did? He looked for somebody who knew how to give it. Because you can't just be throwing the money on the road. So he gave, listen, a man that at that time was worth scores of billions of dollars. He gave 85% of his money to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. What was his reason? He said Bill Gates has shown that he knows how to give out money. So that why should he give himself the work? I don't know whether you get the point. He said it's a hard job. And that's what I want to emphasize. That giving out money constructively, productively, is difficult. If you become rich, you'll get all kinds of letters. By the way, the one that makes me laugh, in case you're out there, let me just quickly address this matter. Why do people write ministries when they are looking for money? Eh? The ministry should have the love of Christ. The ministry should be compassionate. Joe, you smoke something. How can you understand their thinking? It always makes me laugh. The first time we went on radio, the first letters we got, I've not paid my children's school fees. I was broadcasting the word of God to people free of charge. And the first letter they had to offer me, that I'm a widow, I've not paid my children's school fees. Let me tell you, there are different kinds of preachers. This guy, I know how to ignore people like you. Let me tell the story of one young man who traveled to come and see me. What is the problem? He said, he needs business connections. He needs a place to stay. There are three things. I scratched my head. I asked him, I said, excuse me. Where did we meet again? He said, he listened to me on radio. And now many people think that listening to me, they are doing me a favor. Please, know for now, from today, I do not count it a favor. If you are thinking it's a favor, please stop listening to me. I am actually doing you a favor. I and the men who work with me and women who work with me here, to broadcast this word, we are doing you a favor and obeying the Lord. Let me add that one to it. The man said, wait, that listen to me on radio. I said, everything you've heard me say. Where did I say that people who are looking for accommodation, business connection, and something else should come and see me? I said, you came? No pineapple in your hand to say thank you. So people say, I traveled to come and tell you thank you. And I'm looking at your hand. His mouth, they used to say thank you. To a man of God. You don't believe I eat pineapples, Abi? You traveled. Would not have been better for you to call somebody, buy a recharge card, use that transport money? You're coming to my presence to say thank you. If we met somewhere, you said thank you, it's okay, but please don't travel to come and do it. I won't appreciate it. I'm being honest with you. I will not. I look at the young man, I say, you came, you could even buy mangoes, groundnut. You know what they call groundnut? And I said, I should come and help. I looked at the young man. I said, do you have any other thing? He said, nothing. I picked my bag and I left. I just walked away from him. I know if it's John. Do you understand? He will quickly. No. Oh, and Jonathan too. Oh, Jonathan is like that? All these Jonah people. John, Jonah, bro. Ah. He said, these people, they are going to heaven. I mean, I will say come, but not on those parameters. I got up and left the place. I know if it's John, he raised money for him. I lie. I should not encourage bad behavior. Next time you travel to come and see a man of God, bring something. The Lord is good. I met one woman somewhere one day. He was sharing letter that they are doing mission. And he gave to Pastor Courage. I looked and I said, excuse me. You give to Pastor Courage. What do you think he's doing? What happened to the local government chairman in your neighborhood? I don't understand. I always find it a bit odd. Brethren, when you want to write letters, please, don't write to ministries. They are doing the same work as you are doing. I'm not saying ministries you don't give it they want to. Don't write to them. Write to your brethren. Write to them. If a minister decides that, oh, he don't understand my point. But please, don't make such demand. Make a demand on what somebody's assignment is. Write me to invite me to come and teach you free of charge. Or ask me questions. Can we download your books? Don't tell me you have not roofed your house. You don't know how I can help. How did I get into that? You know, I wanted to see something. When that thing just came to my mind. No, I was saying something else. Anyway, let's just continue preaching. Did I have said that? I said, God does not only take bad things from people. He takes many times things that we think are good. And I said we should open somewhere, right? I've not said it. Okay, it's John. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, I think, yeah. John chapter 15. I'm going to read that from the Amplified Bible. Say, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, let me just read that in the Amplified Bible. The classic Amplified. I don't know what exactly the new Amplified would say. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit or that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes. Now notice the word. He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Now let's talk about pruning. First, pruning is not the cutting away of dead parts. The one that's not bearing fruit, that's what he does. He removes away. So, but the one that is bearing fruit, let me tell you what pruning means. He takes parts of it that are not doing as well as it should. He will clip off a branch that are looking a bit weak. Look some trees that look like they are drying up. He removes every attachment. All right? Maybe you see one tree, you know, these trees are attached to other trees. They now grow on this tree. He is careful to remove them. Why? To focus nutrients on the fruitful branch. Now, when it's cutting living parts. Did you catch what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's not cutting dead things alone. Of course, if he finds a dead thing, he will remove it. But when it's pruning, they prune viable things that are alive. That could produce. Except that is not the full productivity. So he said this one is not as necessary as for the main job. So he takes it off. Now, the thing about pruning that it's being alive is painful when it goes. I hope you're getting my point. One of the things you will learn as a believer is that in this life, there's no rest really. Now, let me explain something. There's rest in Christ. There's rest in God. But there's no point in which you say, I've done everything, let me relax. As you succeed at one level, God takes you to another level. The most comfortable part of Joseph's life, I think, was in Potiphar's house. As hard a worker as he was, he had not seen work like he would see later when he was in Potiphar's house. The hardest work he had to do was while he was prime minister in Egypt. Now, many of us don't know the kind of prime minister he was. We thought he was minister for agriculture and food security. That's what we have in Nigeria, right? We have ministry of agriculture and food security. So we think he was minister for agriculture and food security. That's not what it was. It was not just that. He was what? Prime minister. Let me explain. So that when they saw strangers entering the land, they reported to Joseph. It was not just about food. You know what he accused his brothers of? Falsely, though, he was just teasing them. That what? It was... He called them spies. He was in charge of DSS. You don't get my point. The National Intelligence Agency, he was also in charge. He was literally prime minister. His prince, the Bible said he could imprison the princes in Egypt at will. He was in charge. That's the amount of work this man was doing. Pharaoh said, it's only in name I'll be higher than you. Which means that he was the chief. Those days, you know, it was monarchies. It was like the judge, the chief justice of the federation. It was not a place of rest. It was a place of what? Work. Bear that in mind. As you are faithful in one level, God is lifting you up to what? Another. Don't forget that thing. And just ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do next? If it looks like you have entered the rest in an area, another door is going to open shortly. Now, you must always have rest in your heart. The rest in God. Rest in Christ. You are hustling now. Sleep well. Can I digress for a moment? I don't care how hustling... What's the adjective for that? No, I'm talking about hustle. How hustlingly you are. Let's create a word. Brethren, sleep well. What did I say?
Sleep well.
Please tell your neighbor, sleep well.
Sleep well.
You say, God will bless you. Tell the person, God will bless you.
God will bless you.
And you will not have it easier. You think everyone said?
Yeah.
If they are keeping you awake now, when God blesses you, he will keep you more awake. After you are praying that God should increase your business, increase your... When they increase your business, you don't know that it's increasing your responsibilities. You're not aware of that? You had a big store now, then God now give you a mega station, fuel-wise. You think, if you don't learn how to handle plenty, they will cut your sleep down further. That's what I'm telling you now. Sleep, don't say because I'm hustling now, I can't afford to sleep. You say, how can you be sleeping? Your mate already awake in Lagos. You want to go to Lagosians, God bless you, please. Brethren, sleep well. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. I hope you're getting my point. What I'm going out of this is that, see, so this life is about work, productivity for the Lord, fulfilling God's assignment. It's not going to get to a point where you just sit down and say, I don't have to do anything again. God won't allow that for you on this earth. When you get to that point, then he has to take you away. He has to take you away. So while you are here, he keeps giving you something to do. That's what I mean. I maintain the rest from the beginning. I'm talking about pruning. God prunes us. And listen, and that's my message for today. Let me just begin to round it off. I just realized time has gone now. God removes things that seem good from your life. And what message I want to preach to you? If you want to be useful to him, allow him. Let me say that again. In his pruning, he will remove some things that appear good. But if you want to be useful, allow him. Let me give you a few examples. Some of you are very nice at visiting people. And it's a good thing. Are you getting my point? But it gets to a point in time, God says, you don't have that time anymore. You can get a title that you are not social. You don't attend events. Because, sorry, that's the cost of taking you to the next place you are going to go in life. So every year, you go on holiday. You go to, is it Dubai? Or Spain, wherever you are going. And the Lord comes and says, this holiday, I'm taking out of your life. You still have money, but I forbid. I don't want to see you there. Not as if it's bad, though. I hope you're getting my point. It's not bad. It's not bad. He takes... Let me give you an example. It sounds like a small thing. This is a very simple, small thing. All right? My wife is a very interesting person, the way she does some things. It takes you a while. It takes you like 26 years to get to know her very well. And even then, you learn some more things. But many of you will not know. My wife said she used to paint her nails different colors. This one green, this one yellow, this one blue, this one... I said, why will you do that? She said, it just looks colorful. Thank God there was no rainbow coalition that time. Now, if you knew her some time ago, she used to paint her name. Look, and listen, I don't have anything wrong. I don't believe there's anything wrong with it. It's color. It's not a spiritual thing. But you know, one day I sat her down, I said, you can't do that anymore. I don't have time to explain it in details. And that's it. Her nails went back to, not plain as in, like no painting, but then all the colors you use now have to be cool. Why? It's part of the job of being a minister and a minister's wife. I just did a simple example. It's simple. And we had a conversation about it and it disappeared. I don't like to say this thing, especially because I'm streaming. There was a time, there's something I used to do. I prayed to the Lord about it. It was this story that I went to minister in Port Harcourt. I said, Lord, what do you think about this thing? Nothing wrong with it. I prayed one evening. And next morning, an angel entered my room, took some of my possessions, and took them away. I'll just be like that. I didn't see the angel. Something I kept, it just disappeared. Nobody stole it. Trust me, nobody stole it. And I prayed the night before. I said, Lord, fine. If that's the way you want it, good. And I had to let it go. God takes things from people. He told Demos Shakarian, shut down this business. And the way by which he told him, the business was losing money heavily. And that was, you know, we're talking about God in the time of affliction. Sometimes he uses that. You'll be wondering, this is a good thing now. God said, I know. But I afflicted it so that you will get it out of your life. And I will bless it in somebody else's life. How many of you ever heard of this man? You know him, the Chinese-American preacher, pastor. Is that American? Is that American? Eh? Francis Chan, yes, Francis Chan. Can you believe that Francis Chan built a mega church from the scratch? He came to church one day and said to them, this is not what the Lord wants me to do. And he resigned. Did you catch what I said? You don't understand. You're in a major American city. You have a church of 10,000 members. Is that not breakthrough? That's what we call breakthrough. Then one day, he went to that same church, resigned, and handed it over to the church people. You guys manage it. This is not what God wants me to do. Can you believe that God pruned off a mega church out of his life? There are people who think he's mental. Because for them, a sign of success in ministry is you have 10,000 members. He said, no. It looks impersonal. My ministry, now let me add my own words, but I want to use my own words. That my ministry is not being fulfilled like this. The rest of us are going for church growth seminars. The rest of us are looking for how our ministry will blow. This man had a blown ministry. All right, you may not know what it means, but this is Nigerian English. The ministry don't blow. Was big, mega, had become mega. And he walked in there and resigned. I'm going to finish speaking about just give me a few more minutes. Oral Roberts was well known in America, number one televangelist in his days. He used to love building things. In fact, they yapped him. He said if he dies, after they bury him, he will bring out a hand from the grave. Say, please, can I build one more thing? It was one that said it. That's how they used to yap him, his own people. Then one day he had this idea. He built the Faith Medical Center with prayer tower there, everything. In fact, Carnegie, if you listen to his messages, there was a time he said, oh, what a shame the place had to close. Doctors who will speak in tongues before they operate. Nurses who prayed. I hope I get my point. That is, you are in pain, your nurse will pray with you. You are in pain, your nurse will pray with you. I hope you're getting my point. Such a beautiful thing, right? I said, can they say, oh, say, what a shame it had to close. Except that one day he was in his office. David Wilkerson walked up to him. And said, thus says the Lord, close it down. I don't know whether you hear what I said. You know David Wilkerson? Go and read his story. Cross and Switchblade, Run, Baby, Run. But you go to YouTube, his videos are everywhere. David Wilkerson is not currently on the earth now. He's passed on some time ago, but was a prophet. You don't get the point. He walked up to Oral Roberts. And said, see this gigantic complex, big hospital you've built, the Lord said, shut it down. Oral Roberts was shocked. So he took the man. Oh, no, we are human. We've all been in places like that. Sometimes you are chasing a woman. God says, no. You know, go marry this one. While you prayed, Father God, I receive her in Jesus' name. Then God, you all look at you. I said, no. I've already seen her father. Go and see him. Go and see him again. Say, you are not coming again. And when he wants to do it, it will be clear. It's not you are having doubts. It's clear. Oral Roberts. So he took Wilkerson out and took him on a tour of the place. You know what that means? Can you guess? To make him change his mind. Peradventure, God will see it. Yeah, you know, like Balaam and Balak. Let's go from another angle. After he gave Wilkerson a tour of the place. He now looked at him and said, what do you say? Wilkerson looked at it and said, wow, this is very impressive. But I've told you what the Lord said. Shut it down. And he left. I know the feeling. Not as great as his own. I mean, I have not been in that kind of situation. But do you know what happened? Jesus, Robert shut it down? No. But he had given the word. The place shut down by itself. It's not an office complex. You know what God did? He withdrew resources. They didn't have money. They went bankrupt. They sold the building. Many of us would say, but the church will have... God said, what church is the church? I told them, shut it down. Now, as beautiful as they looked, God said, that is not what I want him to do. How did they get to that place? That's not the discussion now. I said, shut it down. And guess what happened? The place shut down by itself when he wouldn't shut it down by himself. I've read the story of why it shut down. It's a long story. I won't bore you with it. It has to do with patient load. People's ability to pay. This and that. But that's how spiritual things work. But God just shriveled the whole place. Bam, it shut down. They were forced to sell the building like scrap. Those who bought it turned it to an office complex. I think in Tulsa. I came today to tell you that if you want God to use you, be ready to give things up. That's my message. If you want to be useful to the Lord, what did I say? Be ready to give things up. If you want to be useful to the Lord, be ready to let things go. As for bad things, do I need to tell you? Purge yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit. But I'm talking about things that appear good. I said, my friend Pastor Courage, I've told this story many times. He was in school. He's a British citizen. The rest of us, Donald Trump said, visa to go to America. He doesn't need it. He walks into all Commonwealth cities without needing a visa. He just lets them know online in America that he's coming. Going to Britain, that's not an issue. Canada, he doesn't need a visa. Australia, he doesn't need. Yes, as a student, as he was about to go, his siblings said, okay, make arrangements. Just one brother. He said, I'll soon be leaving school. I'm moving over to the UK. Not today. I'm telling you, around 92, thereabouts. Yeah, 1993. So it's not today's story. 93, 94. And that person said to him, that's very good, though, as long as it's the plan of God. He said to me, as soon as he said it, I knew it was not. My friend used to say, he said, if Corey tells you he's called, he said, Banky, he's called. Did he hear what I said? The people say they are called. He just look and say, okay, maybe you are called. He said, but that one, if he tells you he's called, he's called. Because the man now got up, left Benin and said, God says you go to Sokoto. Ministry is advancing to places. People like him should open a branch in Abuja. Is that not so? Maybe one in Port Harcourt. When he wanted to open a branch, you know where he did? Maiduguri. Next time to open another branch, you hear, we are going to Dutse, Potiskum. Those are the kind of places you hear. So my friend is a banky. If that guy tells you he's called, say, trust me, he's called. God doesn't only give what people think he should give. He takes what people think he should give. And I came here to tell you today, you leave a job that's paying you heavily for one that's giving you 1/3 of that money, it can be the will of God. It is not always when the job moves from, I was earning 150,000 now, I'm earning 1.5 million. Somebody shout hallelujah. God said, look, listen, with man, now I want to, you see what I'm saying? With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. What did he say there? I can make somebody who was any 1.5 go down to the one that's 150 and shout the same, praise the Lord, hallelujah. With man, it is impossible. You can't think of it. But with God, that is very possible. I can do it. What God cannot do does not exist. After all, the John G. Lake I told about, he had a lot of money. To go to South Africa, he had to pray until God sent money. Because when he resigned the work he was doing, he sold everything he had and distributed it. And packed his wife and children and took them to South Africa. And there, the love of his life died. See, I hope it's the same heaven all of us are planning to go to. I hope the same Jesus Christ we are waiting for. Because the way many of us are living our life, God doesn't settle us here, he failed. And let me tell you, he cannot fail. Whether he gives you a house or he doesn't, he cannot fail. Whether he gives you a car or he doesn't, he cannot fail. Even if though you are looking for a big degree, it denies you of it, it doesn't mean he failed. I tell you what it means. It means he knows what he's doing. And you had better get your acts together and fall in line. Bow down your head. Let's pray. Let's go home. I think I've said what I'm supposed to say today. And those this word is for, please, hear it and obey God. Those of all of us, let's bow down our heads and just pray for a minute. Say, Lord, here I am. Send me. I need you to say that. Say, dear Lord, here I am. Send me. Say, take whatever it is you want, but dear Lord, be gentle. And it's good. You can pray like that. He told Barabbas, shut it down. Barabbas did not. He said, no problem. I'll take care of it myself. Say to the Lord, whatever you have to take, take. But this is my life. It must produce. Say, Lord, go ahead and prune. I know it's painful, but go ahead and prune. I'm yielding. Lord, prune, 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 prune. I need you to say to the Lord, prune, prune me, Lord, prune me, Lord, prune. But let it not happen that I won't get my 100-fold in this life. That is what I mean by this life, that this my life will not bring forth fruit for you 100-fold. Dear Lord, my desire is 100-fold fruitfulness. Say to the Lord, my desire is 100-fold fruitfulness. My desire, Lord, is 100-fold fruitfulness. Pray to him, Lord, where I have disobeyed in the past, forgive me, forgive me. Where I have made my success a material one, physical one, Lord, forgive.